Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Georgia United Credit Union. Show your team pride with the Georgia Bulldogs debit card. Check out gucu.org/godogs for more details.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Boy, I can't wait for Saturday. Georgia and LSU in the SEC Championship, and it's going to be so much fun. And, you know, listen, all you can ask for in life is a chance, right? We know that Georgia has a chance. I'd love to be able to guarantee any of you that, hey, Georgia's definitely going to win. It's going to be easy. It's a punched ticket cakewalk into the college football playoff. Obviously, can't do that. LSU's a favorite in this game for a reason. Georgia's an underdog for a reason. But Georgia has a nice, solid chance, and that makes them the envy of most of the college football world, including some of the big dogs in the SEC, who've now been completely eliminated from the playoff discussion and have no chance of hoisting an SEC championship trophy. Yes, indeed, Georgia finds itself in a pretty good spot here on this Monday on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Georgia United Credit Union. And when you think about Saturday and getting excited for the game, I think the words of Georgia coach Kirby Smart at the end of Georgia's 52-7 win over Georgia Tech on Saturday, I think if you weren't ready before, man alive, are you ready now? Because I think that Kirby Smart, there won't be a preview video shown on CBS. There won't be anything in the media this week that more perfectly hypes up the SEC championship game and more perfectly explains why it's special that Georgia finds itself back in the spot again for the third consecutive year. There won't be anything more perfect in terms of a narrative and a narration even than what Kirby Smart provided on Saturday at the end of the game against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So as a way of just setting us up for everything we're going to say and everywhere we're going to go this week, here is Kirby Smart sharing his thoughts on why the SEC championship game is so important. Here's Kirby.
Well, I'm excited. You know, you earn the opportunity to play in this game. And people will talk about a lot of games outside this and this being a de facto play-in game and all these different things. The SEC championship is the greatest environment maybe in all of football, okay? Because you can say the Super Bowl and you can say all this, but there is no greater passion for a game than any place in the country. When you talk about LSU and the University of Georgia, doesn't matter who's playing in the SEC championship, it is, and I've coached in a lot of big games in my lifetime, the SEC championship is the greatest atmosphere, passion, energy. A lot of them have been those kind of games, and that's what you come to Georgia to play in. So we've earned the right to play in it, and we're gonna go roll our helmets out there and give it the best shot we can.
It is probably not going to surprise many of you, being the SEC homer that I sort of am, but I completely agree with everything that Kirby Smart is saying there. And I've been very lucky over the course of my lifetime to be at a lot of big games, not just college football games, but I've been to NFC championship games. I've been to the biggest games in sports. I've just been lucky there in that regard. I'm very thankful for that. But I can tell you that nothing feels the way that an SEC championship game feels. And if Georgia moves on from this SEC title game and goes on to win a national championship, the various next steps along the way will probably feel less significant than the SEC championship game feels. And listen, the Rose Bowl was amazing and it was great, but it was kind of a perfect confluence of events back in 2017. For the most part, the more you step away from the SEC championship, the more you step into kind of a more corporate, antiseptic environment, the more people you have just to kind of see and be seen, to be part of the gawking crowd, not necessarily living and dying with every play the way the SEC championship game does. It's one of the reasons why I like the divisions. It's one of the reasons why I like Conference Championship Saturday, because with the SEC has worked to build dating back to the early 90s is truly a special brand. It is the envy of all of college football. And the fact that Georgia gets to be here for a third consecutive year and work on a second SEC championship in the Kirby Smart era, that in and of itself is an accomplishment. And even though for Georgia, it also comes with a punched ticket to the college football playoff, for now, just playing in this game, basking in the atmosphere and the aura that's created by the SEC championship, that in and of itself is plenty worth celebrating. And to give you an example of how moments like these in the SEC, the way this conference is kind of uniquely capable of conjuring it up, I mean, compare this to Dabo Swinney after the game against South Carolina on Saturday. His team gets a win, earns a undefeated 12-0 regular season, going to the ACC championship game itself here this weekend, but in the midst of what ought to be a celebration for Clemson about essentially cakewalking into the college football playoff, no, Dabo had Georgia on his mind. Dabo had the SEC on his mind. So the reason why Kirby Smart can say what he says about the SEC championship and it being the envy of college football and the atmosphere that's created, what kind of proves that to be true? A guy like Dabo Swinney saying a boneheaded thing like what he said this week. Here's Dabo.
how important is this game?
Yeah.
It's huge. I mean, it's huge from a national standpoint, because obviously if we lose this game, I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. We'd drop to 20. Georgia loses to this very same team, and the very next day it's, how do we keep Georgia in it? We win to the team that beat South Carolina, and it's, we, how do we get Clemson out? It's the dadgummest thing. So it's big, because they can't vote us out. I mean, we got to go 30-0. I mean, we ain't got no choice. But we don't play nobody.
I don't mind telling you, I think that's weak talk, loser talk from Dabo Swinney, and I think it does show a degree of jealousy. Not jealousy because Georgia's the better team than Clemson. There's a chance it's not. Obviously, Clemson's the reigning national champion. They've proved their status as an elite program, but what Clemson cannot have that Georgia gets to enjoy is the presence in an elite conference. And so while Clemson may be better, Georgia's just bigger. Bigger by playing in better regular season games, bigger by playing in such a prestigious conference championship game. It's one of the reasons why no one questions the SEC champion and their relevancy, their worth for a college football playoff berth, because of what's earned along the way. It doesn't make the SEC champion better than Clemson. There have been plenty of examples when that wasn't true, including this most recent season. But Dabo knows that being elite, if you've got no one to measure yourself against, and Wake Forest and Georgia Tech and NC State and all these teams that Clemson's been playing, don't provide much of a measuring stick. You may be the best, but you don't get to be the biggest when you're in a weak conference like the ACC. So the SEC, regardless of Georgia, whether it wins on Saturday or not, I think it deserves its chance to flex. And Georgia fans who fought and scratched, or the Georgia team itself that's kind of fought and scratched to get back here, and the fans who've enjoyed every step of the way, it's a chance to enjoy this on Saturday for reasons that have nothing to do with the college football playoff. Although, admittedly, getting back there would be pretty fun too. Let me shift gears and talk about something else different here for a moment. Obviously, one of the potential blemishes to Georgia's win against Georgia Tech on Saturday, and there were probably a few of those all the way around. We'll get to more of those coming up over the course of today's program. But one of those blemishes is the fact that DeAndre Swift leaves with a shoulder injury. It's called a shoulder contusion by Kirby Smart. It was really kind of a scary scene after the game, or I should say during the game, with Jake Fromm and James Cook and a few of the Georgia players kind of gathering around him, praying with him. I know Richard LeCount was kind of close in on that for a while, and it's kind of heart-stopping for Georgia fans, because as much as I will from time to time downplay the significance of individual injuries, boy, it's tough to downplay the DeAndre Swift injury if it is indeed would be a factor in the SEC championship game. But given several opportunities to say otherwise on Saturday and then again on Sunday, Kirby Smart seemingly will not acknowledge that this is a serious injury for Swift. Smart seems to think, certainly working hard to make all of us think, that Swift is going to be fine. Let me give you a few examples of that, starting from the beginning of his post-game press conference on Saturday.
With DeAndre Swift, I think he's going to be fine. He's got a shoulder contusion, and we think he'll be fine. I think he should be back.
So that's obviously straight and to the point. Later on, Smart kind of asked, hey, well, if what you said's true, if he is going to be fine, do you feel like you kind of dodged a bullet here? Do you feel fortunate that the injury's not more serious than you've said it is? And Smart kind of went into a little bit more detail then about exactly what has been going on apparently with Swift now for quite some time. Here's Kirby again.
Fortunate, I wouldn't say fortunate. It's never fortunate, you know, that a guy gets dinged or gets hurt. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I mean, he's been dealing with that kind of all year. He's had shoulder contusions, and it's bothered him from time to time. And he's a really tough guy. I mean, he probably could have gone back in the game if he needed to. He knew that that wasn't what we needed to do, and we need to rest him and get him ready. He's been a warrior and a leader of this team, and his spirit will need, because next week he's got a lot of energy and emotion that we need.
All right, so if you're scoring at home here, Kirby Smart says DeAndre Swift's going to be fine. It's just a shoulder contusion. And then he's asked by a reporter, well, do you feel kind of fortunate that it's not any worse than this? And Smart gives us some more details that this kind of shoulder thing is something that Swift has actually dealt with a lot this year. And Smart goes on to say that he could have gone back into the game here on this particular Saturday if he needed to. And, you know, I've used this as a disclaimer before. It's probably worth bringing up as a disclaimer one more time that gamesmanship exists before a big game. And we've probably seen some examples of that with Kirby Smart in the past, whether it's how he's talked about Lawrence Cager this year, how he's talked about DeAndre Swift in previous years. Smart certainly not under any obligation to be totally forthcoming with everything that's going on with his injuries. This is obviously one that fans care a lot about, but obviously the LSU coaches and players are going to be listening in closely too to find out everything that's being said here. So Smart, I guess, in some cases is going to reserve the right to kind of say what he needs to say to sort of a protect the game plan that he wants to protect here. Hopefully, and I speak on behalf of all Georgia fans on this, hopefully that what Smart says there is absolutely 100% able to be taken at face value exactly the way that he says it. Shoulder contusion, he's fine. He's going to be that warrior. He's going to be that leader that he's always been. But you can't help but wonder, is this an example of Smart trying to protect the secrecy of what might be really going on here? The one thing I will give some credit to, though, is the various reporters who've tried to kind of poke and prod at Kirby on this the last couple of days, because this is useful information. Fans want to know this. There's a curiosity there. And while the stuff you just heard from Smart was from Saturday, yesterday, as a part of an SEC teleconference ahead of the championship game on Saturday, Smart was asked again. Now, you're going to hear the reporter's question comparing what might be going on with Swift, what happened with Auburn running back Kerryon Johnson back in 2017, when he was obviously injured, less than 100%, after leading Auburn to a victory over Georgia that November, was not as effective in the SEC championship game, and for the most part, the Dogs dominated against Auburn here that day. I think that's actually a really relevant question and a nice premise to set up Kirby Smart one more time, even accidentally let it be known that Swift might be dealing with this more than Smart wants to admit is true, and once again, Smart held to his line. If you care about Swift's health, what you're about to hear from Kirby is interesting. Here's the reporter's question and Kirby's response.
A couple years ago, obviously, Kerryon Johnson had a shoulder injury coming into this game, and as you guys quickly were able to pounce on him, he was not the same guy in Atlanta. I mean, is it one of those things, if a shoulder's 80%? I mean, how do you kind of gauge that along the way?
Yeah, I don't think it's the same scenario. I think I expect DeAndre to be fine.
So listen, you can't ask any more questions any more directly than Smart's been asked them, and Smart has not tripped up, messed up, or given up any information that he doesn't want to give. He apparently thinks that DeAndre Swift is going to be fully healthy for this game on Saturday. I don't have to tell you the truth of that statement, how important it'll be for the Georgia game plan overall. We're going to take Smart at our word here on this show and look forward to seeing Swift be one of the leaders of the Georgia offense overall. The overall bottom line to kind of tie all of this together is, I don't think there's a more prestigious game than all of college football in the SEC championship, including every bowl game this sport has to offer. I don't think that's the case. I think this is as good as it gets. It leads to an even bigger and better trophy if you can win it, but the atmosphere itself here is pretty special. And Georgia's lucky to be back in this spot again with a chance to compete against a great team, great offense, great defense. The storylines kind of write themselves. We are going to have so much fun this week getting ready for the SEC Championship game. Can't wait to share it with you here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Georgia United Credit Union. With that in mind, we'll keep things rolling. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Georgia United Credit Union. Lots of ways for you to get in touch with us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Really glad to have you with us today on what is kind of an expanded edition of our program, trying to cover all the bases for the beginning of the week as we head towards the SEC Championship game coming up on Saturday. As I said before, it's all brought to you by our friends at Georgia United Credit Union. One of the great ways to show off your UGA fandom here this holiday season. You're buying a lot of gifts, taking a lot of folks out to meals. It's just kind of a fun time of celebration and enjoying all the things the holiday season brings with it. And no better way to show off Georgia fandom than showing off that Georgia United Credit Union Georgia Bulldogs debit card. And the cool thing is there are three different design options for you to choose from. You see one of the selections right there on your screen right now. And also, if you haven't acquainted yourself with Georgia United Credit Union, you're going to want to do that there as well. They've got 19 locations throughout the metro Atlanta area, offering you access to 100,000 surcharge-free ATMs, enhanced security features, convenient access to your money through online banking, and so much more. And the Georgia Bulldogs debit card can be yours free when you open a Georgia United checking account with options to earn interest. Let me give you the website to go to here to learn more about Georgia United Credit Union and to check out the Georgia Bulldogs debit card. It's GUCU.org/GoDogs. That's GUCU.org/GoDogs. That'll get you in touch with Georgia United Credit Union. All right, we've got John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a couple of moments. Before we get to that, though, let me kind of explain how this week is going to be a little bit different than some of the weeks that around here, because obviously Georgia is getting ready for an even bigger game than per usual with LSU in the SEC Championship. So each night at 6 p.m., we're going to be doing a Road to Atlanta presented by Kroger, and we'll be covering the day's activities, what Georgia coach Kirby Smart says, what LSU coach Ed Orgeron says, the various players involved in this, the key storylines. So extra edition of our program, almost like a double edition of Dog Nation Daily, coming your way 6 p.m. live on video each and every night. So check out the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube page. We'll do this live on Twitter. And you can do Road to Atlanta presented by Kroger as we get ready for the big one here this week. And then, of course, on Thursday, Road to Atlanta going to be live. It's our own version of the Marlowe's matchup called Road to Atlanta here this week. We're going to be back at the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners. That's 6 p.m. this upcoming Thursday, 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners is the address. 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners, that's the address. It won't just be me, though. The former UGL American John Stinchcomb will join us in a moment. He's going to be there and be a part of that. Our recruiting insider Jeff Sintel, ahead of the early signing period, which begins in a couple of weeks, he's going to be a part of this, too. So it's the biggest Marlowe's event of the year to this point, celebrating the SEC championship game, looking ahead to the start of the early signing period. And it's a part of a week's worth of broadcast for us. Road to Atlanta presented by Kroger. And of course, live at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners coming up on Thursday night. And by the way, today is your last chance to also register for your chance to win the VIP giveaway that we're doing at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. This includes VIP seating for four for the event that night. Most importantly, dinner for four from the chef-inspired food if you want to choose from the brand-new fall menu, which is delicious at Marlowe's Tavern. But you get dinner for four if you're the winner. We're also going to throw in a Dog Nation gift package there for you as well. It is all going to be announced tomorrow. So this is your last day to register for your chance on that. DogNationHelp@gmail.com is the email address to use. DogNationHelp@gmail.com. We will notify the winner tomorrow, that's December 3rd, and invite you and some friends to be with us for the big event coming up on Thursday at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. All right, we're going to get John Stinchcomb here in just a moment. Before that, let's go around the doghouse here, and let's talk a little bit more about the storyline for the SEC championship, kind of coming from the LSU side of things here for a moment. You know, LSU coach Ed Orgeron did speak to reporters last night, a part of this SEC teleconference that kind of always kicks off the SEC championship week. And it was quite interesting to hear Orgeron speak, the tone of voice that he uses. And I don't just mean to talk like this way that he does. I mean, the seemingly more jovial attitude and atmosphere surrounding his conference call compared to Kirby Smart, who admittedly does not like his exchanges with the media, doesn't want to have to do any more than he has to. I don't know that Orgeron's typically all that much more excited about the media than Smart is. Maybe the fact that for Orgeron, this still feels a little new and different, coaching a team as head coach in the SEC championship game compared to her Kirby Smart, who'll now do this for the third consecutive year and, of course, had a string of doing these as Alabama defensive coordinator there as well. So maybe this is old hat for Kirby in a way that's not for Orgeron. But Orgeron did offer up some pretty interesting things, both in terms of his team, how they've been able to take their performance and success to a higher level here this year, and kind of what he expects of the Georgia defense. Because as I said a moment ago, the key storyline that determines how this SEC championship game is going to be viewed by the country, and I think ultimately who wins this thing, I think it kind of comes down to what happens with this vaunted, living up to the hype each and every Saturday Georgia defense against this explosive, you know, striking fear in the hearts of opponents LSU offense. That's the kind of immovable force, unstoppable object, whatever the phrase you want to use here is. That's what everybody wants to see. And Orgeron, who certainly knows defensive football, threw some compliments Georgia's way for the way that it's played defensively this year. Here is what Orgeron said about the Kirby Smart defense yesterday evening.
We just got a scouting report on Georgia, so our guys are breaking it down, but we do have a preliminary scouting report. Kirby's done a phenomenal job. This is the best defense we faced all year. They'll pressure, they'll play man, they'll play zone. I think it's overall comprehensive of the pass rush that they have and their abilities to cover one-on-one. I think that's what makes them outstanding.
So let me kind of speak to the Georgia defensive game plan here for a moment, because one of the things that I've heard, and we'll take some comments live on video later on. Of course, people reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, and when we have the conversation, one of the things that kind of comes up is, oh, BA, I don't know about the Georgia defensive game plan against LSU. I feel like the Georgia defensive game plan has been too conservative as of late. And it's probably just factually accurate, objectively true, that the whole narrative of havoc rate and tackles for loss and sacks and things like that, forcing turnovers, the whole narrative of that dominated the spring, kind of matriculated into the summer and was really kind of very present at the very beginning of the season, for the most part, over the course of the last few weeks, that has seemingly softened a bit, right? And it seems like the Georgia, much the same way, it kind of occupies kind of a conservative offensive approach, I think you can say that Georgia has chosen to play kind of a conservative defensive approach as well. They are not seemingly dialing up as many pass pressures, you know, blitz type things as maybe at one point in time we thought they might, you know, would during the season. They have seemingly become quite content just to limit yards and limit points. And who can argue with the results given how stingy this Georgia defense has been all season long? But I can't help but think back to last year's SEC championship game, ultimately a game in which Georgia didn't win. But when you look at the way that Georgia handled Tua Tagovailoa in that game in the early going, I think one of the things that you saw there was a pretty aggressive Georgia defense, all things being equal. Lots of press man coverage to the line of scrimmage against a group, with all due respect to LSU, on paper at least, better crop of wide receivers than Alabama. Georgia had no fear about pressing them to the line of scrimmage a season ago. And dialing up pressure, a lot of that came by the one-man gang variety of what DeAndre Walker brought to the table. But it was aggressive for Georgia against the high-powered Alabama offense a year ago. And I'm guessing that for Georgia here this Saturday, I think they'll choose to be more aggressive as well. And in fact, you know, I'm no X's and O's expert. You can take all this with a grain of salt. But if you want to go back and watch some of the ways in which LSU was combated by the Auburn defense a little early in the season, and Auburn had some success there, I think overall Auburn probably played a more conservative game plan that day against LSU to great effect than I believe that Georgia's going to kind of dial up on Saturday. I think one way or another they're going to disguise a lot of coverages, right? It's going to be a combination of guys dropping back into pass coverage and trying to get big bear paws in passing lanes from time to time, but it's also going to be well-timed, you know, blitz pressure as well. Also being cognizant of the fact that Joe Burrow may kind of cut it up and use his legs at some point in time. So I think that Georgia, as Orgeron said right there, is going to dial up a lot of different kinds of pressures, and kind of what you've seen from Georgia the last few weeks in terms of a game plan, I don't think that's necessarily the same way they're going to approach LSU here this Saturday. But no matter what the ultimate game plan is for Georgia, the one thing I firmly believe to be true, I believe right now it is just as hard to score on the Georgia defense as it is to stop the LSU offense from scoring. And I know that you can point to the Georgia schedule, even though it's been tough opponents, not always necessarily a great collection of quarterbacks. And you can say, well, the stats for the Georgia defense have largely been aided by the offense which it's been played. You know, listen, I'll acknowledge in some cases that Georgia hasn't seen a quarterback yet like Joe Burrow. I'll acknowledge that greatly. But at a certain point in time, the results of the season kind of speak for themselves. And I think for Georgia, that's going to be true here leading in this Saturday there as well. That for everything the LSU offense has established for itself from a reputation standpoint, I don't think the Georgia defense is far behind. I'm just like everybody else, really, really excited about the way these two units are going to match up with each other. It is a phenomenal chess match to watch back and forth between Kirby and Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger and that entire group. And obviously it's going to go a long way in determining who wins this game here as well. That's Around the Doghouse. We will get John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a couple of moments. Before that, though, let me remind you that as we kind of head through the month of December here, there's a great opportunity for you to take advantage of a great offer from our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary, and in honor of that, they're offering you 25% off select dates here in the month of December, but you've got to use the promo code BVR25. Now, if you're watching on the screen or watching on video, you see that on your screen, BVR25 at BrasstownValley.com. Select dates in December, beautiful time to be at the resort, Christmas decorations everywhere, big trees in the lobby, fireplaces crackling with fire, great chance to be there, and of course great opportunity to get some great savings as well. Use BVR25 at BrasstownValley.com and you can take advantage of a terrific 25% offer. We'll have more from Kirby Smart later on. We'll get to the George Pickens stuff, but for now here on Dog Nation Daily, let's get ready to talk to John Stinchcomb.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
You know, John, one of the things I talked about before you joined us was the pageantry of the SEC championship. What Kirby said about that on Saturday, I believe, is 100% true. Let me kind of push that aside for the moment. We may get into that in a minute. Let me just kind of deal with the opponent here for a second, because something else I also addressed before you joined us was the obvious chess match between the Dave Aranda, I should say the Joe Brady, Steve Ensminger offense, the Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Lynn Schumann defense, this Georgia defense that has answered the bell every single Saturday, this LSU offense that has found a new way to set records seemingly every single Saturday. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better football matchup than this, both as a fan of the sport and obviously a Georgia partisan. I'm sure you see this from a lot of different angles on Saturday, but you're just as eager as any of us are to find out how this all plays out on the field this upcoming Saturday. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I can't wait to see it, because LSU has done things offensively different from a lot of this country has. And they're trying to redefine what expectations and realistic expectations are for offensive football. And I think the same can be said about Georgia's defense. In an era where 40-plus points has become standard in a lot of places, Georgia's defense has continued to be dominant, which sets it apart. I mean, they are uniquely special in today's game. So I think it really sets up at least that side of the ball as a war of two very clear minds. And something I'm excited about watching, I think everybody across the country is, and Georgia fans should be optimistic, more so than any other team, just because of the defense and the way they've played this season.
So I think that Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator for LSU, has not only been the best assistant coach in college football this year, John, I don't think it's too bold of a statement to say that he's been the most influential figure in the sport, period, including players, including head coaches, the impact that he's had. Burrow was a good quarterback before, but he's a Heisman Trophy winner now. I think that Brady gets a lot of the credit for that. And that was interesting to hear Smart say on Sunday, and Smart has traveled around and visited with as many coaches as possible. He is deeply entrenched in those coaching circles. He said that he really didn't know Brady well before his arrival at LSU this year. He's only 30. The honest truth is, before he got the job this year, I'd never heard of him either. You know, you are a former New Orleans Saint. You've broadcast some preseason games. I mean, how much was Joe Brady talked about around New Orleans before leaving the Saints to take the LSU job this year? How much did you know of Joe Brady before he went to Baton Rouge?
Well, when Drew Brees starts talking about the quality control guy and how he's affecting their offensive game plans, and that's with Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, Joe Lombardi, they're the names that you know. They are a trust of offensive knowledge. And all of a sudden, Drew's talking about this guy, Joe. Who's Joe? Well, now the world is starting to come to realize why he was being so influential and noteworthy in those meetings. I mean, he's sharp. It didn't matter the amount of knowledge that he was in the room with, he was able to kind of carve out a niche in what could be, in my opinion, it probably is, one of the best offensive groups to have ever seen the NFL. Historically, statistically, outside of the greatest show on turf, probably include them as well in St. Louis in their prime. This New Orleans offense continues to be at the top, and they're talking about the new guy. So I think they realized that the special talent and mind that he had and has, and I think we're getting to recognize his special approach and talents and what he's been able to do with the LSU offense this year.
So let me kind of draw in broad strokes then with all that in mind, that because the LSU offense can get it in such big chunks from time to time, I think the notion of Georgia completely shutting this group down, I just think it's impossible. Listen, I think Georgia has a good chance of winning this game, but it's not going to win the game 16-13 in my mind. I just don't think that you can absolutely obliterate the LSU offense because of the way that it can get so many on so few plays. That's just the kind of thing that it is. To me, though, all these games kind of come down to the same thing. Can you limit their running game while also trying to make sure that you're disrupting the passing game as much as possible? Because the one thing you can't do is let them have a big explosive passing plays and kind of a consistent, steady running game. That, to me, is where this game is going to be won or lost, because over the course of the season, I've seen the LSU offense seemingly improve running the football. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the veteran, has really been the guy that has stepped up. At one point in time, I thought it would have been the younger backs like Ty Davis or John Emery Jr., but it's really been more Edwards-Helaire who's kind of emerged in that role here this year. John, I'm going to be overly simplistic for a moment, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I think the first half is about Georgia chopping wood and getting more running yards than LSU, making sure the Tigers don't get a lot on the ground. And if that's the story after 30 minutes, then I think it shapes up to be a final 30 minutes where Georgia has a real chance of winning this game. But I don't think you can have any room to let this LSU running game get started on Saturday, because if you pair that with the lethal Joe Burrow, then you might as well turn the lights off and go home.
Well, that's probably one way to look at it, and I think it's a fair assessment. You definitely don't want LSU to have both aspects of the pass game and run game clicking early. I think it really comes down to Georgia has to put some points on the board.
Yeah.
I think what would help our defense more than anything is to make sure that we're not down by two touchdowns in the second or third quarter. I think that really starts to open things up and what LSU has to do and puts our defense in a bind. I think if we can score some points early and control the clock, I think that's going to be big. But I think our defense is special. I really do. And it's what is remarkable about this defense is there's not that star player. I think usually with these defenses that look so dominant, there's that pass rusher or the cover corner that's locked down and enables you to cheat in other spaces. And Georgia's done it through consistency and just overall stellar play from each position group. And I think that can be frustrating for an offense. What I think LSU does really well is exploit weaknesses. I think their defense or their offense attacks defenses in ways that they recognize how to invoke and encourage defenses to compensate for weaknesses, and then they exploit them. And I don't think Georgia has that. I think they've been able to play consistently against the run, against the pass, and that's a strength for them. I don't see this being a we've got to keep pace with LSU game. I think if Georgia's offense is able to score early, and I think LSU might be able to get frustrated a little bit offensively because they won't have that same success that they found against other teams, then it really could swing in favor of Georgia having a really good day on Saturday.
Let me ask you this, and obviously coincidences exist in life. Maybe this is one, maybe it's not, but look at Alabama for a moment. They've gotten so explosive in offense the last couple of years, but the defense is really a shadow of its former self. Alabama's ability to run the ball this year is not what it once was in the heyday of Nick Saban. Kind of the same thing with LSU there as well. As the LSU offense has gotten way better, this is not the sort of defense that, you know, certainly some of your, you know, brethren at Georgia would have been facing back in 2003 and some of those years when it was just, you know, head knockers at every position and rattling cages, you know, all game long. This is a little bit different kind of LSU defense. Now, it's too simplistic to say, well, the rise in offense has caused the rest of the program to become a little softer, but boy, it's hard not to notice the way these prolific offenses have kind of seemingly given up something somewhere along the way to get there. A, do you think that's true, that being such a pass-happy, you know, prolific offense has negative impacts on other areas of the program? And can Georgia exploit that on Saturday by simply being the tougher football team?
I think, and it's odd, it really is weird to see how this plays out time and time again where one group, either offensively or defensively, is superior, and it seems to affect the play from a team on the other side of the ball. And you're talking about LSU's offense, Alabama's offense opening up, and all of a sudden their defense doesn't look quite as dominant. I think part of it is the way teams have to play and go into those games, those matchups, knowing that they have to open up a little bit. And sure, it leads to more points when you're trying to keep pace with these greater offenses. But it really is strange. I think it's noteworthy to say that, you know, is it because their defenses aren't as good or is it the way offenses are playing against them? I think it's a combination of the two. I don't think they have the same horses that they've had in the past, specifically talking about LSU and Alabama's defense. They're good, but they're not great, and they don't have the same personnel. I think part of it's the war of attrition. They've put a lot of guys into the NFL that were underclassmen. You don't see that same development that you have in other places. But it is weird, isn't it, BA?
Yeah,
to
it
see,
is.
You know, you see these offenses do really good, and then the defense doesn't look quite the same.
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what to make of all that, but the examples where it's been true are hard not to notice. I've got more questions for John coming up in a moment, including allowing him to give a thought on George Pickens, who was both ejected from Saturday's game and now suspended for the first half of the SEC Championship. Before that, a quick word from our friends at Kroger. And if you go to DogNation.com today, right up there at the top, you see a information about a big event, or a couple of big events coming to Kroger's in the North Georgia area here, coming up on both Thursday and Friday. You know, Kroger does this a lot this time of year, welcoming, you know, former Georgia greats back. And on Thursday and Friday, former Georgia wide receiver Muhammad Massaqua is going to show up first at the Kroger in Bon Air on Georgia Highway 96. That's this Thursday, December 5th from 5 to 6 p.m. And then following day on the Kroger in Athens at U.S. Highway 29 North there in Athens, also at the same time, 5 to 6 there on Friday. So if you go to DogNation.com, you can find out more about these great events and pick the one that's closest to you to kind of go to and see the great former Georgia wide receiver, Muhammad Massaqua, this Thursday and Friday at Kroger's here in the North Georgia area. Check out more at DogNation.com for information on that. All right, John, so Pickens, kind of a weird day for him on Saturday. He is not playing in the first half, what Kirby Smart describes as a team matter. Comes in for a few minutes. My oh my, did he make news while he was there? Scores a touchdown, and then on a Dominic Blaylock touchdown, gets into a, you know, fisticuffs, whatever you want to call it, with one of the Tech players. Ends up getting ejected from the game there at that point in time, and now, I guess by NCAA rule, will not be available for Georgia for the first half of the SEC championship game. What do you make of what went down with Pickens, and how do you get a guy who's clearly a great player, at least on the verge of being a great player, to control the emotion when part of that emotion and that fire is part of what probably makes him a pretty good player? How do you manage all this with Pickens, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And let me tell you, my first concern, it's not as a fan of Georgia. It's not my concern isn't that, you know, Cager's hurt and Pickens is expected to be the number one now. And my first concern is for George Pickens because he's obviously a very talented football player. But I worry because I've seen similar stories, and I don't know. I'm the first to admit, I don't know what all's going on. I don't know George Pickens personally. I don't know much about him other than what you see on a football field, that he's super talented and plays with passion. But it gives me pause and concern when, for team reasons, and you put those in quotes, air quotes around it, that he's suspended for that first half, and you see him get in trouble in a game of control. When, let's be honest, I mean, Swilling should be ejected from a game just like George Pickens was, and rightfully so, for that fisticuffs that they had right there. But, you know, my concern is for George is that, you know, he's a talented guy, but I've seen a lot of talented guys that have other stuff get in the way of them finding the success that they're capable of. Maybe this is, I'm going out on the rails for making more out of his situation in this year than is there. But on the heels of a first half suspension for quote unquote team reasons, and then see him jeopardize an opportunity for himself and his team, it gives me concern that, I know the resources they have at Georgia. I know the support staff that they try to pour into guys. I hope that George is able to lean into those things, lean into those spaces and resources that are available to him if he needs them. And if he doesn't, my apologies. I'm making more out of it than is there. But, you know, my concern is that he's got all the talent in the world to be successful through the game of football, and there's plenty of distractions and plenty of other things that can get talented players tangled up. And I think Saturday is an example of just that. Whatever it was, he wasn't able to play the game that he's talented at for the first half, and we saw what happened. He was drawn into another situation where he's not able to finish against Georgia Tech, and he's going to miss the first half of an SEC championship where, one, his team needs him, and two, he needs it. I mean, if you're a great football player, you got to be able to play football. Just ask AB. You know,
sure.
The best wide receiver in the game is sitting at home, not because he can't play it, but it's because of other stuff. And, you know, again, long-winded way of saying my first and foremost concern is for George in that, you know, he's able to not let outside factors affect his ability to perform in an arena that he's been gifted in, and that's the game of football.
Well, John, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out this Saturday when he does get a chance to play in the second half, and obviously a really fun week for Georgia fans upcoming. I can't wait to share some of this with you on Thursday there at the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners for our big Road to Atlanta Marlowe's matchup event previewing Georgia and LSU, and of course having Jeff Sintel join us for a little recruiting talk. It'll be fun there as well. John, thank you so much for sharing your time with UGA fans this week. I know that you are just as excited about the game as we are, and I can't wait to break it all down with you. We get there to the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners on Thursday. Have a good week between now and then.
Look forward to seeing it at Marlowe's, BA.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So I'll have some more thoughts on George Pickens here coming up in just a moment. I'll let you hear what one of the Georgia players said about that, what Kirby Smart said about that, and I guess I'll, to the extent that it's possible, I'll do what I can to defend George here in just a moment, too, although I completely agree with what John said in terms of, hey, these are the kinds of things that you got to work through and you got to get, you got to figure out a way to control those emotions on the field. Completely agree with that. We'll just talk more about Pickens here coming up in just a moment. For now, though, let's go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Let's face it, you know, listen, it's a long season for all of us. And when you think about the weather turning cold, it's pretty cold here in the Atlanta area where I live. A nice tropical vacation on a beautiful Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Man, that sounds great this time of year. And really, no better choice for that right now than the all-new Oasis of the Seas. You know, that is a totally amplified, made bigger and better than ever before cruise ship experience from our friends at Royal Caribbean. Now, they're turning 50 years bold this year. One of the ways they're celebrating that is by kind of reintroducing some of these ships, the ships into the fleet. And the Oasis of the Seas is one of those. Whether it be the Ultimate Abyss, the tallest water slide at sea, fun bar, kind of nightclub environments like Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade, Music Hall, the Lyman Coconut, which is like three stories tall, kind of a tropical, really just paradise type bar experience. The Bionic Bar that has robotic arms. If you watch on video, you see all the things for the whole family, for kids, the entertainment, for adults, and just kind of everything else. It's a perfect vacation experience. It's the boldest choice you can make for any vacation. And if you go to RoyalCaribbean.com, you can find out more about the Oasis of the Seas, the other ships in the fleet, and also to get in touch with a travel advisor and help you get that travel booked. All right, let's do some SEC through stories. Cruise around the SEC with the Royal Caribbean. A lot to cover here today. Let me start with the Iron Bowl. And however many months ago, I went on the Paul Feinbaum show, and I said during that show that I thought that Nick Saban was pretty obviously in the winter of his career, that he's just getting older. And as he gets older, I think the Alabama program is going to suffer. And boy, I heard from all kinds of, you know, Alabama fans very upset with me about that. I don't take great pleasure in saying anything like that, but what I predicted then seems obviously coming true now. Saban lost in the Iron Bowl on Saturday. He was outcoached by Gus Malzahn in the process. I think Malzahn essentially laughed at Saban in the postgame locker room almost for sure with the way that he was able to coax Alabama into that 12-men-on-the-field penalty by lining his punter up at a wide receiver position like Auburn was going to run a play. Just an example of Malzahn outsmarting Saban. That wouldn't have happened years ago, but it is happening right now. The other thing is, you know, Alabama fans will blame the loss on the penalties that the team sustained. The honest truth is, though, Alabama didn't lose this game because it was undisciplined. Alabama lost this game for the reasons that I talked to John Stinchcomb about a moment ago. This is a program that's just gotten soft. They're soft with their running game. They're soft on defense. They're just not physically tough anymore. They've essentially become a Big 12 version of themselves. They are scoring points left and right. They average nearly 50 points a game for the regular season. But they're not stopping people anymore. Not the good teams anyway. Not LSU this year, not Auburn this year, not Clemson the last two times they played them. Go back to the Ole Miss game in 2015, I guess, you know, but that's a good while ago now. Recent losses for Alabama have all included lots of points being scored. And the question you got to ask yourself is Nick Saban at this point in his career, does he have the energy required to restore the toughness to Alabama? When they've dealt with transfer portal issues, and they've dealt with recruiting misses, and they've dealt with injuries, they've dealt with all that. Does he have the energy to do this now in this stage of his career? To me, Nick Saban on Saturday gave off some real Steve Spurrier in 2015 vibes. I've said before that once Saban and Alabama are out of the playoffs, Saban would start looking for a way out. And I think the next 12 months will be very interesting on that, to find out, does Saban have the energy required to fix what's broken in Alabama? We'll find out. Speaking of coaches on their way out, a couple of those in the SEC off the course this weekend. You know, sometimes in the NFL you call it Black Monday, the first day after the end of the regular season. A little bit of a Black Sunday around the SEC. Matt Luke is gone from Ole Miss. Barry Odom is gone from Missouri. And both of these decisions in their own way were kind of controversial. The Ole Miss players have really seemingly stood up to support Luke's firing, you know, saying they don't favor it. And there's even been some rumors from some of the Ole Miss media that a lot of those guys may transfer. I'll take that with a grain of salt. I'm not quite so sure about that. The Odom thing was a little bit more critical from some of the folks in the media, and some of the former players, you know, seemingly felt like they were just too impatient with Barry Odom. Let me kind of deal with both these stories separately here for a moment. The fact of the matter is, you can excuse away the games in which Missouri played without Kelly Bryant. This is also a team that lost to Vanderbilt. This team that lost badly to Kentucky, with Kentucky starting a wide receiver at quarterback. There's a lot of really ugly play for Barry Odom this year. I'm not quite sure it's going to get better. And then with the situation at Ole Miss, I mean, listen, I always felt like that Luke was a transitional coach, kind of a feel-good hire because he felt different, the opposite from maybe a little bit more of a used car salesman vibe that Hugh Freeze gave off. But Luke is the inferior coach between the two, and it's not even really close. I mean, it's just not. So, is there a case to be made that you could have been more patient with both guys? Maybe so. But listen, I don't know that too many people are going to shed any tears for either of these coaches losing their job here. I don't know there was any evidence whatsoever that either guy had any chance of achieving any kind of success in the foreseeable future. Also, when you add the fact that Chad Morris is out at Arkansas, that's been now for a while. So three SEC coaching openings right now. A couple other crucial in the SEC stories to get to. South Carolina has made some coaching change to its offensive staff. Muschamp expected return for 2020, but Dan Werner, the former quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, he was quarterbacks coach at South Carolina. He is now out. Sounds like Brian McClendon is going to stay on staff but get a demotion. That means a new offensive coordinator is coming in. They also fired their strength coach as well. It won't take too many people very long to connect the dots between Will Muschamp and another coach that Kirby Smart also has some ties to as well, Mike Bobo, who's out of Colorado State. You know, I guess the question here comes down to, Does Bobo want to be a head coach again? Does he feel healthy enough? Because this is a serious issue. I know he's dealt with some health issues. Does he feel healthy enough to be a head coach again? If he does, then I don't think you diminish your brand by becoming an offensive coordinator again. It's more likely he becomes an analyst if he's looking for that next head coaching job. I think once you demote yourself, you kind of stay demoted. But if Bobo has decided that being a head coach is not what he wants to be, then he'll be a very attractive free agent for a program like South Carolina or any other who may be looking for a play caller and a guy that can work with some quarterbacks. He's clearly done that before. Speaking of quarterbacks, two other quick stories to get to here. And speaking of South Carolina, there are reports coming out of Columbia that Jake Bentley is going to transfer. That's not been confirmed by Bentley, at least as of press time, as they say in the industry. But nonetheless, the thought is, with Ryan Helinski now established as the Gamecocks quarterback, Bentley may be looking to move on. It is confirmed and known for sure that Florida quarterback Felipe Franks is now leaving that program. Once again, Kyle Trask has won that job. And so now Franks will look for a new place to go play football. So this is the time of year. Coach is going to be on the move. Quarterback's going to be on the move. This is rumor mill season. Some of that will involve Georgia. We'll probably follow that in the days ahead. But for now, buckle your seatbelt for a wild ride around the SEC. We'll make that cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. All right, real quick word from my bookie, then we're going to hear from Kirby Smart on George Pickens. Obviously, a lot of you love to get action down on games. You like bets because it's just a fun way to make the games that don't involve Georgia a little bit more interesting. Or some of you think you have great insight on the dogs, and why not make a little money on that? Well, that's what MyBookie offers you a chance to do. And when you sign up for your first deposit, they're going to give you a big first deposit bonus. That means up to $1,000. They could double your first deposit. But in order to take advantage of this great offer, these great savings, you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION. It's all one word, spelled D-A-W-G. Use the promo code DOGNATION with MyBookie, and you can get a big first deposit bonus and enjoy all the things that make MyBookie famous. The best player perks in the industry, the fast, no-hassle payout when you win, and a big first deposit bonus when you use the promo code DOGNATION. Simply find MyBookie online. Just type it into your browser. The internet will do the work for you. Use the promo code DOGNATION. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's talk George Pickens here just for a moment. And let me start this way. So you know what happened. He doesn't play the first half. He steps in, comes in the second half, and ends up getting to a little bit of a scuffle, and some punches were thrown, some wrestling occurred, ended up, you know, well off the sidelines. And this is what Kirby Smart said about after the game. Here's Kirby on Pickens.
I'll address the George Pickens situation. He was suspended for the first half for violation of team rules, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And then, unfortunately, he got an undisciplined penalty. And when you make undisciplined decisions, regardless of what's done first, you pay a penalty for that. So he won't be able to play the first half of next week. And when you make emotional decisions, that's what happens. So we're going to help George, and we're going to help him grow up and try to make better decisions so that he can help our team. But that's unfortunate.
So Kirby acknowledges the tech dude's the guy that starts it, but ultimately that doesn't absolve George Pickens from the responsibility here, not even close. And as far as the way other players are going to treat the situation, I thought one of the real team leaders here, Monty Rice, defensive guy, but a leader for the entire team, I thought he spoke in no uncertain terms about this as well. Here's what Rice said about Pickens.
I feel like, you know, that's a huge learning lesson for him to not do something dumb like that, because, you know, he's a vital part of the team, vital part of the offense. You know, he's a young guy. But, you know, obviously you see how productive he is. He can help us a lot. So, you know, he just got to be smarter, you know. You know, there ain't no way around it. It ain't nothing to say. Ain't no woulda, shoulda, coulda. All he got to do is just not throw a punch or slap or whatever he did. He just got to be smart.
So I think that what Rice says there is unassailable. It's obviously true, and I trust team leaders like that to help instill that message and that belief, that value, into George Pickens. And I trust Kirby Smart as a coach kind of run the kind of program that kind of allows that to be true. But the one thing I'm not going to do, though, is kind of be willing to toss Pickens aside or even suggest that I'm kind of like I've had it up to here with him and my patience has run thin with George Pickens. I'm just not going to do that because ultimately, and this is just a fact of football, that it is a lot easier to put some composure in a guy who has fight than it is to put some fight in a guy who's really, really composed. It's just a fact. And nobody condones what Pickens did, and obviously if he had a chance to go back and redo that, he would do it differently. And it kind of stinks that he's not available to Georgia for the first half. But there aren't that many guys in the world who can do what Pickens can do, who can go out there and dominate a defensive back, catch touchdowns. Even as a freshman, he's proven himself to be, I think, one of the real future stars in this Georgia offense and one of the most difficult to guard guys in the SEC. At least in times and flashes, he kind of shows you what made him a five-star coming out of high school. This is not to say that because he's an elite talent, everything he does gets excused. That's not what that is. But college is a time where you learn and grow. And learning and growth is an opportunity provided to everyone, including a guy like George Pickens. Pickens brings something to the table that Georgia really needs. An aggressive fighting behavior. It has served him well. It's one of the reasons why he's had such a successful freshman season. However, he may have a little too much of a dose of that, and he needs to soften some of those edges. But that's what college is. Listen, if you had a video camera on me when I was 18 years old for all the dumb things that I did, I'd be embarrassed right now. And I'm sure that Pickens probably, you know, regrets this. He may be a little bit embarrassed by it there as well. I mean, ultimately, the SEC championship game, by the way, is also going to be solved and determined and won on the basis of chopping wood in the first half anyway. So if Pickens gets a big play, it's probably going to be in the second half as it is. But the bottom line here is Pickens is a guy that Georgia needs. The overall fiery demeanor that he brings to the table is also something of great value to UGA. Now, he just needs to learn to turn the volume down on that. And over the course of the next couple of years, my guess is the Georgia leaders, the Georgia coaches, and everybody else are going to help him do just that. All right, we'll get ready to wrap up here today, but don't forget tonight, 6 p.m., Dog Nation video channels. And by the way, I know for some of you who listen to the podcast, you actually, you know, listen around that time, but most of you listen kind of on demand much later than it's recorded. So just be mindful that we will have extra content, 6 p.m., Road to Atlanta, presented by Kroger, getting ready for Georgia and LSU and the SEC Championship. We'll look forward to doing all of that. It's going to be a very interesting week because obviously we'll be hanging on every word that Kirby Smart says about DeAndre Swift. Certainly good news on that front thus far. We hope that continues, and just kind of hanging on every word from the LSU side about exactly what they plan on doing, kind of being in the spot for the first time in a while. We haven't seen LSU in an SEC championship game in a good number of years here. So return for them. How do they handle that? How do they combat Georgia? Very interesting storylines. We'll follow all that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Georgia United Credit Union, and Road to Atlanta, presented by Kroger. And by the way, still thinking about the Gatorator Updater, 1,129 days. We'll see you tomorrow.